for the Vineyard family. So many family. I look around the room. I think to myself, man, this is the family of God. But the Vineyards in particular, Steve's always got my back on the bass. He's always hitting it. How many of you love him on the bass? We got Parker on the drums tonight, Pagey up there singing. And I'm telling you, I'm putting Will to work. He doesn't know it yet, but I'm going to put him to work. And tonight, I'm so honored to introduce a great friend and someone who is a teacher in the house of the Lord, is a friend, is a mentor, is a mom in the family of God. Would you give our friend, Miss Amy Vineyard, a big hand tonight as she comes?
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Ooh, a little loud. I guess I don't have to talk so loud, do I? As Ryan was saying, 10 years ago when we walked through the doors of City Church, I never imagined in a million years that I would be up here. It just was something I never even fathomed. And so I just want to say that I feel so honored. Honored to be here, honored to be sharing with all of you. I'm very thankful, Pastor Marty, Aaron, Ryan, and all of the elder team for allowing me to share, because it truly is something that I take very seriously. And I'm just so thankful to be entrusted with this responsibility. So before I get started, I would like to just take a moment and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the body of believers that is gathered together tonight in your name. Father, we thank you for the people here in the house and for those that are watching at home online. Lord, I just ask that you have your way. Open hearts, open minds. Lord, move by the power of your Holy Spirit. Take me out of the equation, Lord, and let your message flow through. It's in Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. So I have to say, Jesus is so faithful. Every time he gives me the opportunity to speak, I seek him. And every time I seek him, he is faithful to answer what I'm seeking out. I look to him for him to guide me in what my message will be. And I have to say, this time was no different. I was asked to speak. And so I sought the Lord. I laid in bed that night and I said, Lord, what was it? What would you have me speak on? And he simply said, words. Now, I know for some that might be a little deficient. It might leave you wanting a wee bit more information or direction. But for me, I was left with sheer excitement. You see, I love words. I love words. I love language. I love phrasing. I love all of it. And I really love Scrabble. So I'm just a connoisseur of words. And one time, we had some friends that were camping up at Hamlin Lake. And we decided to go up and visit them while they were camping. We got there. It was kind of a rainy day, and we were under tents. And they got out a bunch of games to play. And they get out this yellow canvas banana. And I'm thinking, what is that? I've never seen anything like that before. And they explained to me that it's this game called Bananagrams. And it's these little tiles of letters, and it's a lot like Scrabble. And so I'm not playing. I'm just observing. And I'm watching, and I'm looking, and I'm kind of working the table. I'm standing behind people and giving them ideas of what words they could play and what they should do. And the whole time I'm thinking, I have got to get this game. This is right up my alley. So I go home. I order the game. We get it, and I bring it out to my family, and I'm so excited. I'm like, we're going to play Bananagrams. They're like... So you see, it's much like Scrabble. And you get these tiles, and you have letters, and you have to create words in your own crossword puzzle in front of you instead of in a big group in the center. But what makes this game so fun is it's a race. Every time you create a word, you have to yell, peel. And when you yell peel, they have to take letters, more tiles, so they take another tile. Well, we're playing, and every 15 to 20 seconds, I'm yelling, peel, and they have to take more letters. And within 5 minutes, I'm yelling, Bananagrams, because now I'm out of tiles, and I've won. I look up, and my family is appalled. They're in complete horror. They each have about 35 jumbled letters in front of them and very few words. Steve's sweating in red. Paige is just plain mad. And Parker's like, emphatically, that was ridiculous. Needless to say, I can't get them to play Bananagrams with me anymore. Every time we have a game night and I say, let's play Bananagrams, they're all like, no. The only one who will play with me is sweet William. He's such a good boy. Much like many of you, I am a believer of the school of thought that words matter. And so when I tell that story about Bananagrams, I hope that it just displays to you how much I truly was excited to learn that tonight God wanted me to talk about words. See, words carry power. They hold great weight. When strung together, they can become a symphony of language, inciting emotion and inspiring actions. They have the ability to build and destroy, bring life and death. The book of Proverbs is an excellent source for gaining understanding of the power of words. Proverbs 11:9 reads, evil words destroy one's friends. Wise discernment rescues the godly. We are to have discernment over the words and the things that we choose to say because they have great power. Proverbs 18:4 says, wise words are like deep waters. Wisdom flows from the wise like a bubbling brook. We're to have discernment over the choice of our words because they have great power. Nourishment for our weary minds is the byproduct of good words. If you take the time to read the book of Proverbs, and in fact the entire Bible as whole, your heart can change from one that maybe always thought that what rolls off your tongue doesn't really matter to a heart that understands the gravity and the importance of the things you think and say. Now, in the days following the giving of this topic, I began to write about spoken words. I thought that was the direction the Lord wanted me to go. I began to write about the things that we specifically speak to each other or about each other. But my heart kept pressing that there was something more, something different that he wanted me to address tonight. And I just knew in my heart that I was off base. So I asked him to lead me to a specific scripture, and I found myself in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. And this is NIV. The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Now I have to admit, when he gave me that scripture, I felt a little lost. These are beautiful, life-saving words. This is the entire gospel wrapped up in this phrase. I began to ask him, you know, Lord, where are you going with this? I guess I don't understand. And so I read it again and again and again. And then some words began to jump out at me. Radiance, glory, sustaining, powerful, majesty. And then my heart realized his purpose for tonight was to impress upon us the importance of the words that we use to describe him. He started me on a thought process that changed the entire direction of this message. And his faithfulness followed through with confirmation after confirmation that I was finally on the right path. You see, we were designed to commune with the living God, to praise him, edify him, and to thank him with authentic hearts. We are also made to be the aroma of Jesus Christ, speaking about him in such a way that the others around us hunger and thirst for the righteousness that we have in Christ Jesus. What do you say about our God? We all say that he's been good to us, but do you speak about his radiance? Do you speak about his majesty, his power, his sustenance? Our Father concerns himself with our words. The very terms and phrases we use to speak and have praises to him and about him matter. Let's break down the words of the scripture. Number one, radiance. The definition of radiance is light or heat as emitted or reflected by something. Jesus is the perfect reflection of the Father, giving off light. He is the light of the world. Jesus is quoted in the book of John, chapter 8, as saying, "He who follows me will never walk in darkness, but rather have the light of life." Do you speak about his perfect reflection? Do you praise him for his light and tell others that they too can come out of darkness and have the light of life? That your God is radiant and will illuminate everything. Number two, glory. The Hebrew word for glory is kavod. In the Old Testament, it had a meaning of heaviness or weight. But in speech, when referring to God, it was used to express worth in a material sense as magnificent, important, with splendor and great honor. Glory is meant to be used as describing the magnitude of who God is. I love how the YouVersion devotional, Jesus Revealed, speaks about Jesus' glory. Here's an excerpt. What is glory? Glory is the revelation of God's splendor and majesty. It is revealed through his actions, his character, his ways, and his responses. And through direct revelation, we see his splendor. The Father revealed himself through Jesus to us, and we see the incredible splendor of his love, his mercy, his heart for mankind, and the extent he would go that we could have forgiveness. Jesus demonstrated the power of God over every sickness and disease, over death, over every demonic power. He will now release God's glory by making salvation available to all mankind, for anyone who believes and accepts it. Isn't that beautifully written? The very nature of who he is carries the greatest weight and the greatest worth of all that there ever was and all that there ever will be. He reflects or personifies the greatness of the Father. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. Do you think about and utter words of his glory? Or has the phrasing, "Glory be to God," become a cliche spoken by actors and athletes who recognize out into the world that that's something you say when you win? We have to think about these things. His glory is so much more than that. And when we talk about his glory, it should incite words like splendor and bring understanding of the magnitude of his magnificence. Number three, sustaining. Isaiah 46, verse 4 says, "Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and carry you, and I will sustain you and I will rescue you." The definition of sustaining reads, to strengthen or support physically or mentally. Some associated words are uphold, bear, support, and uninterrupted. How often do the words we use to describe God include sustaining? I know for me, not often at all. I know I don't praise him nearly enough for his nature to sustain. He keeps us alive. He gives us strength and hope, and he is an uninterrupted lifeline. He is our very help in times of trouble, and he gives us refuge. Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith and the sustainer of all things, and that includes our lives, the very breath in our lungs. We must start thanking him for it and telling others that he sustains us. Now that brings us to powerful number four, which means to have great strength and ability. And in the case of our God, it is a supernatural ability that defies the laws of nature. Such power allows him to create life, raise the dead, break strongholds like addiction, and bondage of principalities and evil powers and forces. His power can heal cells, bones, and systems. His power purifies and turns crimson red into white as snow. Christ displayed his power again and again and again over the course of his ministry. The Bible gives us some 38 accounts of the manifestation of God's power that Christ displayed. What we must never forget is that his Holy Spirit that resides in us is that available source of power. It is available to us. He is still raising the dead. He is still healing bones. He is still breaking strongholds and casting out evil spirits. Christ is all powerful, and we don't call on or speak nearly enough about that power. Our God is all powerful. We should be saying it, and it should be our life's call to tell the world about such power. Number five, majesty. It's the title given to a sovereign being. Majesty speaks of authority and dignity. God is majestic because he is the supreme sovereign deity. Chronicles 29:11 reads, "Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all." King David said, "The Lord is clothed with splendor and majesty." Psalm 93:1-2 reads, "The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed with majesty and armed with strength. Indeed, the world is established firm and secure. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity." David goes on to say, "On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate." The Lord our God is majestic. When was the last time you said aloud or meditated on his majesty? When we think about and speak about our God in such a manner, it releases his glory out into the atmosphere. There needs to be a revelation, an awakening of the body that causes a new movement of open praise that authentically represents the majesty of our glorious Godhead, three in one. Unfortunately, we've repeatedly spoken some of the same words about God, and they've become almost like cliches. God is good. All the time? Right? Now, when we say that, we really mean it. We mean it in our hearts. But it's become a little watered down in the world. And the reason is because while we're proclaiming his goodness out into the world, we're leaving out what makes him good. We don't follow it up with words about his radiance, his power, his might, his majesty. We've watered it down, and the words of praise have either become overused by certain phrases or underutilized by others. I know that this is kind of a hard message because most of us want to believe that we honor God completely with the words that we speak and think. But recently, the Lord corrected me on something, and I realized that we have to work on our phrasing and our language when it comes to honoring God. So for those of you that don't know, in March, I began helping Steve in his construction business. Now, as you know, and by helping, I mean hindering, obstructing, and impeding through various ways of hurting myself. We start at 7:30. By 7:35, I'm looking for the first aid kit. It's a beautiful thing. It's beautiful because I'm learning a lot, and we're growing in our relationship together. But I'm also learning about operating power tools and different construction terminology, like oscillating and reciprocating, as well as liability and compound fracture and hematomas. It's amazing. Anyhow, recently Steve and I were on a job, and a tool that he was using completely locked up. Now, we were in a position where not one more thing could be done on this job until this tool was working properly. Now, I have to say that this was the fifth or sixth different obstacle that we had come across that morning, and it was becoming increasingly frustrating. So I'm silently praying in the corner for Satan to take a hike and for Jesus to come in and heal this piece of machinery. And Steve's just ready to smash the thing. And out of his sheer frustration, he hollers, "Lord, please, for once would you just help me?" I chimed in my head, "Please, Lord, just help him. For once would you cut this guy a break?" And immediately the hairs on the back of my neck stood up. And I heard the Lord say, "For once, if you only knew." I realized right then and there that we had fallen victim to our flesh and that we were very wrong. I wondered the rest of the day how many times I've used that passive-aggressive language towards my God. Words that suggest when something isn't working out that God never really helps me. He always helps other people. Or words that suggest he doesn't really care about my pain or the problem I'm having. Now I know in my heart and my mind that those thoughts are wrong. Those aren't true. But my flesh has this uncanny ability to only see the bad that's in front of me sometimes and forget about all the help and healing that he has done previously in my life. I began to think about the hurt and anger we would feel if Parker were to say to us, "For once, would you just help me? For once, all we do is help you, boy, and we're broke because of it." Just kidding. Not really. You see, it's that phrasing, "for once." It's a dig that our flesh conjures up to hurt God, insinuating that he doesn't care. And in an effort to make him feel sorry for the problem that we're in, so sorry that he'll do something about it. I know I'm not the only one who utters words or phrasing that dishonor all that God does for me. My, how strong the flesh can be. You see, it's unnatural. It goes against the grain to utter words about God's beauty in the midst of conflict. It takes discipline, and we have to deny the flesh and train our brains to respond differently. To be so authentically in love with Jesus that the words of praise roll off our tongue in the place of watered-down cliches or even passive-aggressive digs. The flesh may be strong, but the Spirit of God that is inside us is stronger. Every believer has the Holy Spirit to help them. And if we ask wholeheartedly and seek the right inspiration, we can train ourselves to use a different language, different words when talking to or about our God. So how do we do that? Well, number one, the Bible. This book is alive and active. It is filled with life-changing inspiration. Uncommon words used to describe God. You can't help but be changed by the Word of God. In these pages, you will learn of God's radiance, his awe-inspiring power and might. You'll learn that he is beautiful, magnificent, and that he has this awe-inspiring power. You will learn and absorb new words and become comfortable speaking them to him and about him. In regards to his splendor, I mean, that is a word that we should become comfortable with, his splendor. This book is what we need to help break us of the worldly view and any misconception that we have of who he is. Yes, God is good all the time, but it's high time we start telling the world what makes him good and praise him for it. This book can give us the words that we need to do that. Number two, our environment. Ladies and gentlemen, we are products of our environment. We know that iron sharpens iron. If you want to be a child of God that magnifies his presence through edifying him, then you need to get around people who inspire you to live that way. I'm reminded of our little ones upstairs, like Riley and Ethan. When I think about environment, I think about how they respond. If we're up there, I will say to them, God is, and they will respond, love. Or if I say, who loves you? They'll say, Jesus. Now, when I would ask that question, who loves you in public school, the answer I always got was mommy, or sometimes Miss Amy. So why the difference? Why the difference in the answer upstairs? Well, there's two reasons. First, they're hearing the word of God in an age-appropriate manner, here and at home. Secondly, they're in an environment upstairs where the atmosphere creates conditions for a godly answer rather than a worldly answer. What is your environment like? Does your environment create conditions for godly speech and actions? Do you surround yourself with a body that inspires you to glorify God and praise him with words that resound his beauty? What are you reading, watching, and listening to? Listen, the entire reason environment matters is because we absorb what we're surrounded by. And that's what Ryan was referring to today about us being a family. Now listen, the truth of the matter is, I could have calmed my husband and changed the entire atmosphere that day if I had opened my mouth with words of praise, praise of his beauty, his majesty, and his greatness. And if I had done that, then maybe Steve had never been tempted to lose his cool and utter that just once phrase. The Bible and our environment can and will change the way we speak about God. Words matter. They matter to us, and they matter to God. Radiant and glorious. He is sustaining and powerful. He is our purification and he is sovereign. He is beautiful and majestic. He is light and he is love. He is the Alpha and the Omega. I want everyone to stand up right now. Utter words of praise. Edify him. Proclaim his radiance, his glory, his sustenance, his power, and his majesty. We were made to worship and edify our God. He is altogether lovely, altogether worthy, and altogether wonderful to you and me. Speak it forth. beautiful He is to you. He is majestic. Let Him know you see His majesty. Let Him know you see His robes are flowing. Let Him know that you believe in His power and His might. Speak it out. Tell Him what you see when you look at His face. God is so much more than good. He is great. He is powerful. He is healer. He is everything we need, and He sustains our life. Tell Him now how you feel about Him. Here we are, Lord. Here we are to worship. Here we are to bow down. Sing it out. He is altogether lovely, altogether wonderful.
Sing it. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Come on, one more time, tell him. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together. Come on, lift your hand and tell them. All together, wonderful to me. Here we are to worship. Come on. To bow down and to say, oh my God, you're together now, all together, Father, thank you for a great reminder tonight. You are wonderful. You are Counselor. You are Prince of Peace, the Mighty One. And God, we worship and praise you. Lord, our prayer in this place and in our homes, in this family, that every time we come together to worship and to lift you up, we wouldn't just take it as another song service or just another moment. But Father, we would embrace the moment to lift you up, to magnify you, to worship you, to honor you in your house, in your temple. And we thank you for it tonight. Thank you for this place. Thank you for Amy tonight bringing the word. Thank you, Father, that she listened to your voice, to your Holy Spirit. We're so grateful tonight in Jesus' name. Come on, would you say amen tonight? Come on, give her a hand tonight. Wasn't that great?